And since Sarah introduced herself, I'll introduce myself. My name is Bill Tybert, and I'm the pastor here at Covenant. I remember the Christmas Eve that I said, "Hi, my name is Bill Pastor, and I'm the Tybert here at Covenant." Get confused sometimes. My favorite thing at Christmas time is when our family gathers for fondue. Nancy makes the best fondue in the absolute world. No, Paul? You think not. You think Mary does. We'll have a fondue cook-off. So I was thinking as we were gathering here that I was looking around at all the Covenant regulars who were trying to find their normal seats. Yeah, not many of you got them. Tough luck. This Christmas season here at Covenant, we've been using Dickens' Christmas Carol as an illustration for the sermon. So we've looked at the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. That little novella, which takes about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to read, if you sit down and read it, is a work of fiction that is intended to communicate deep truth. It's kind of like an extended parable. Tonight, I want to focus on not a work of fiction, but the reality of Christmas. The truth of God wrapped up in the real story of Jesus the Messiah. Unfortunately, from my perspective, even we Christians have taken this real story and we've kind of fictionalized it. We've made it more like fiction than the real story. The reality of Christmas comes from the truth that Jesus was born into the reality of human existence in all the good, the bad, and the ugly. The problem with most Christmas cards or with most movies, such as The Nativity, this scene comes from a movie called The Nativity, is that the birth is kind of made into a fantasy experience with lights descending and music playing in the background and everybody feeling warm and fuzzy. I want to tell you, I have 4 boys. I was at the birth of all 4 of them, and none of them were like that. And all of the women here should say, amen. Real births in a real world are not like that, and they certainly weren't like that in the first century. The reality of Christmas is that Jesus came into the world in order to transform and redeem the whole world and all of humankind. Not just the CNN heroes, but the broken and the bad, the enemies of all that is good. He does this through a life of great love and sacrifice, which ends with a gruesome death of crucifixion on a cross. The reality is that the world needs transformation. I need transformation. You need transformation. Your neighbors need transformation. This world needs to be changed. The good and beautiful world that God made has been held in captivity to sin and brokenness and death. We need a kind of transformation that makes love, real love, honest love, deep love possible. Real peace and real joy and real patience and real gentleness and real kindness, real goodness, real faithfulness, and real self-control. Jesus comes into our real world, the real world where we mourn the loss of loved ones, the real world where when families get together at Christmas, there's tension, even if there's great life. We need a transformation of character that allows us to let go of paranoia and anxiety and worry and fear and jealousy, hatred and bitterness and anger. All things that all of us experience or feel at one time or another. Either we are the perpetrators or we are the victims. all of these and many more ways in which we miss the mark of what it means to be truly human, the way God intended us to be, really alive. The reality of Christmas is that this can really happen. It can happen in bits and pieces, here and now, in progressive ways, but it will happen completely in the end. When all things are redeemed, when restoration takes place, when reconciliation reigns. And it can happen because Christ was born in Bethlehem, lived, ministered, died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. The reality of Christmas is that Jesus was born into a time of political, economic, religious, and national upheaval. It wasn't peace. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't Christmas card. But what he came to do transcends all of those things. And he comes today into our lives in the midst of political upheaval, in the midst of national upheaval, in the midst of economic difficulty, in the midst of all kinds of things that are taking place in this world that are the exact opposite of what God intends. And all of those things pale in comparison to the reality that Jesus brings. The reality of Christmas is the reality of God himself coming to make his residence among us, to enter into the human condition, filled with all its beauty and brokenness, all the order and disorder, all the pain and frustration, all the chaos and confusion, all the fragility and all of the failures as well as the successes of life. And he comes to do so in a way that we might have access, personally, practically, to forgiveness, to restoration, to reconciliation in relationships, to redemption and salvation from that which seeks to destroy us. He comes to give us do-overs. He comes to give us a new life, a new beginning. So tonight, or tomorrow, I don't know what your traditions are. Some of you may be going home to a big celebration. Some of you may be having a big celebration tomorrow. Whatever, in the midst of the decorations and the glitter and the ornaments and the feasting and the presents and the gatherings, I invite you tonight to enter into the reality of Christmas. Not the Christmas card, but the reality of Christmas by giving yourself completely and fully to Jesus. When I became a Christian at the age of 13, what I was invited to do was to give as much as I understood of myself to as much as I understood of Christ at that time. And I did. I prayed a prayer and I said that, God, I don't know much about who I am. I'm 13. And I really don't know much about you, but I give myself to you. As much as I know of myself, I give to you. As much as I know of you, that's what I want. Yeah, that's a long time ago, 54 years ago. And I've lived the last 54 years by doing that on a regular basis, giving as much as I understand of myself to as much as I understand of Christ. I invite you to do that this evening. When we light the candles tonight, I invite you to let that lighting be a symbol of God's lighting his life within you in a brand new way. Let that be a symbol also of your intention to do what we're going to do, which is light other people's candles. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Father, I ask that you would help us be agents of transformation in a world that needs transformation. That we would know what it is to give ourselves to you anew. And then give ourselves to other people. Our family. Our friends. People we just come in contact with casually. That we become lights in the midst of darkness. And Lord, as we bring our tithes and our offerings to you tonight, we ask that the money that we put in the offering plate, whether that be change or cash or a check, that that be a symbol of our giving ourselves to you anew. In Jesus' name, amen.